Jesse with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, wow, this is such a thrill. I have today a guest, and her name is Allison K. Williams. And I'm saying the K because, according to her, K is a funny letter, and I think she's a pickle. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Patsy with a Z. It is so great to be here. You know, there's a story behind my K, which is that when I first started writing, Allison Williams, the actress who is the daughter of Brian Williams and who was on the TV show Girls, was just starting to get very famous. And so I really needed to start using an initial so that people could find me on the internet. And my dearest writing friend is a woman named Kate. And so I took the K for Kate.
Okay. What a pickle. I think it's wonderful. It's perfect for you. And you're right. It is a nice, strong letter. So it works out perfectly. Wow. You know, this is a thrill because I have to tell people, her book isn't out yet. Her book is, we have months and months to wait for it, and it is called Seven Drafts, Self-Edit Like a Pro, From Blank Page to Book, and it's not coming out until September 7th, but we're going to be talking about it for the next months because this is Allison's first visit to Joy on Paper, but she's going to be back. She's going to be back on Pub Day, I hope, and in between.
Absolutely.
In between, we're going to have you back because this book is just so, so good. You know, I open the show with this, you know, Joy on Paper is a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And
yes.
Everyone needs to read this book because you are, well, you are an authority and you are like a real guru of editors and you know so much. And as I'm reading this book, I'm thinking, oh my God, oh my God, she's in my head. We read the same books, we got the same things. And it's just, I was so thrilled with this book. You know, people, that's one of the joys. You know, when I started this program, I didn't realize, well, first of all, how much money I would save because I get all the books free. But the joy is getting them before everybody else. So, wow. Anyway.
It's like a sneak preview. You know, you get to see all these early books. Now, people can go ahead and pre-order my book at bookshop.org. Just look up Seven Drafts. But I'm really excited, too, because for the people who do pre-order, I'm going to do some extra special things between now and when the book comes out. We delayed the release a little bit. And I think that's another lesson for writers is there is never an end to the waiting. It is always hurry up and finish and then wait. And then hurry up and query and then wait. And then hurry up and get a publishing deal and then wait. There is no writing without waiting.
Exactly. And you are just, the book is so much fun to read from so many angles. It's filled with you know, fascinating information. Wonderful. You've selected some of the best you know, little tidbits to share with writers so that they can start seeing what they have to do. So let's talk about the seven drafts idea. The name of the first one is rather funny, and and I think some people will agree.
It's the vomit draft, and it's because you just need to get it all out. You got to get it on the paper before you can poke around and fix it and make it a little better. Now, there is a somewhat more delicate metaphor for this. A writer named Jenny Elder Moak, whose book Hood is coming out pretty soon, she came up with the idea of the grocery draft, where you get all your ingredients out and you put them on the table and then you decide what you can make. And I really like that idea of both impulsively getting everything out and now you have the set of stuff that you can choose from so that you can decide what actually belongs in your book. You know, they say that when you get the creativity faucet on, you've got to let the cold water flow before the hot water starts to come out. And so that's why it's really important to just get through that first draft. It is so much easier to fix bad writing than it is to fix a blank page.
Well, that's what I told people at the sort of the beginning of the epidemic, pandemic, whatever this crazy thing is. Somewhere around April, people were saying, well, how long is this going to last? I said, well, it's going to last. It looks like it's going to last for a while. So start writing. Just start writing. And you will, at least you have something to work with at some point in the future. Just start writing.
Absolutely. And I think so often people think, oh, well, you know, I have to get good or I have to learn more. And honestly, nothing teaches you to write a book better than writing a book. You know, take your idea, and it's okay if you don't have a fully formed idea. It's okay if you don't know where the story is going to end. And likewise, it's also okay if you want to write a great big outline that plans out every scene. Both of those ways of working are perfect. For me, I tend to write the beginning of a book, then I write the end, then I start filling in the middle, then I do an outline and figure out what I'm missing that needs to be written. But it is never good writing when it first hits the page. It always needs work after that. And that's no matter how many times you publish and no matter how good you are. You know, we all have this idea in our heads that our hero writers, well, everything they write must come out exactly perfectly. You know, they wake up in the morning and charge over to the computer and type briskly, and then they've done their words for the day and they retire to the lounging sofa. And I don't know anybody that it works like that for. And I've been mentored by some pretty big deal writers, and every single one of them spends time trying to make the words come. Every single one of them has to write a rough draft before they can get to the good draft.
Exactly. You have to just get, you have to put that tush down on and sit there and do it.
Exactly. I mean, somebody once asked Nora Roberts, and we all know Nora Roberts. She also writes as J.D. Robb. She is massively prolific. The woman writes like 6 books a year. And someone said to her, you know, Nora, what's your secret? And she said, butt in chair. That is the only secret to writing, butt in chair. And that's the hardest part for me, too.
Because people are, well, there's a natural tendency to procrastinate and to put it off. And so people who were like during the pandemic months, they had no more excuses, really. They couldn't go running around. They couldn't go out. So there was no excuse.
Exactly. I'm very lucky that I secured my publishing deal for this book right before the pandemic. Wow. So it helped me a lot that I had a specific project to work on. But I very often am working on more than one project at a time. I also edit work for other people. So I've edited, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 manuscripts over the course of the pandemic. And I've been working on 7 drafts, which comes out in September. And then I've also been working on a young adult novel. And I find that I really have to compartmentalize. So this book was my primary focus. And then with my local writing group, I did 10 pages a month on my young adult novel. And, you know, it sounds like this magic dream, like, oh, yeah, you're just going to write 10 pages a month. And at the end, you'll have a book. But in fact, it worked exactly like that.
Well, that's it. You have to have a discipline. You know, I also compare writing to, you know, opening a cupcake bakery. Everybody wants to have a cupcake bakery. I mean, we all love it. You have your grandmother's recipe for great cupcakes. But boy, oh boy, there's a lot of things that go into it. It's not just, you know, having the recipe. There are all the ingredients, all the things that you have to do, all the marketing, all the signage,
health code inspections,
everything. And for writers too, they have to get the book done, and then there's a process. You know, I've had a couple of authors who have, you know, contacted me, and they said, I finished the book yesterday, now how do I query?
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I wrote this book, 7 Drafts, because we all have the same problems in our various drafts. And so I really decided to map out this process where first you get the book down, you just get it onto paper, then you move into the story draft where you go, okay, is the plot working? Do all the events matter? You know, what's the structure of this book? Then you move into the characters and you start looking individually. Does each character come across as a fully grounded human being with something that they want. And this is where, if we're working with a romance novel, we have to take the evil ex-girlfriend and make her a genuine character with a personality who has a genuine reason to believe that she has been wronged. You know, then you get to the technical stuff where you look at your individual sentences and make everyone as much better as you possibly can. Little copy edit, get some friends to read it, get either a professional or a friend who's a much better reader than you to read it. Then you can finally get out and query.
Well, what I love about this book is you have in each section, you have really the details. You explain. Sometimes, you know, people buy books and they're all over the place. But here you have it. It's really beautifully laid out. And I'll just give an example, because under the technical draft, there are things that you have to know. You have to know word order. You have to know sentence length. You have to know metaphors and dialogue tags and, and all of this. And you've laid it out really nicely here to, you know, with great examples that you've pulled from, you know, current literature and you know, famous literature. And
Thank you. It
really works very nicely.
And I think, too, you know, we all tend to think, you know, oh, editing, isn't that like, you know, 10th grade English class, and I've got to find the subject and the predicate. And it's not like that at all. And I want to just make an example here. So there's this thing called a modal verb, not as fancy as it sounds. It's basically when you use would and could. You know, when I was a kid, we would go to the beach in the summers. Well, modal verbs make things hazy or indefinite. So there's a difference between when I was a kid, we would go to the beach in the summer, and when I was a kid, we went to the beach on weekends in the summer. And one of those is much more definite than the other. Now, it's totally okay to make a situation hazy, and using would and could can help you make it hazy. But if you want the situation to be specific, you can do a really simple find and replace in Word. Look for the word would, look for the word could, and ask each place, do I want this scene to sound a little bit hazy, or do I want this scene to sound more definite? And it's just one of those writing habits that we naturally have in our speaking, and so it ends up on the page, and it is really not a difficult or time-consuming fix, and yet it makes your writing that little bit better, that little bit more specific for the reader.
And the interesting thing is, you know, nowadays you do have this ability to search for words, which is great. But too often, and because I get so many books, I get about 12 books a week, and I'm recognizing patterns now. I can tell if somebody's run this through a grammar program, because they have cut out they cut out nuances, it upsets me, because I know exactly what the person probably wrote and then what the program suggested.
And these tools are great for us. There's some really good software out there, but we can't just apply what the tool tells us. We really have to look individually at every single correction and go, okay, is this right or is this wrong? You know, and sometimes it's spelling. Well, I meant to use this version of two and not that other version of two. You know, sometimes
that's easy.
That
kind
of thing.
But the writing, when you have to have a background in reading. If you've read good literature, then the words just come out so much more easily. During this pandemic time, people would say, well, I can't get the words. I say, well, how many books have you read in the past few years? And they say, not many. And I said, well, there's your problem. Words mean something. And you have to have, your head has to be full of these words.
Exactly. And you have to read voraciously in the genre or the category in which you are writing. So, for example, I like writing young adult. Young adult now is very different than young adult was when I was a young adult.
Oh,
and so even though I remember how being a young adult feels, authors express it differently nowadays, and readers expect to encounter it differently. And so I have to be familiar with, well, what's going on in young adult right now? Have I read Scott Westerfeld? Have I read Michelle Ruiz Kyle? You know, have I read the current names in young adult? And I think that's true as well for pretty much any kind of writing. Very often we remember the books that we loved a long time ago, and they do not necessarily have a lot in common with the books that are popular and selling now. And that doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice your idea to, you know, write for the market or write to trend or whatever, but it does mean you need to know what's currently going on in your genre so that if you decide to be dramatically different than the normal expectations on that genre, you're doing it on purpose and not because you didn't know any better.
Well, one of the great things about this book, first, exactly this explanation of the editing process and what you have to go through to save yourself time and really so much hassle by getting it as good as you can before you pay somebody to do an edit.
Absolutely. I mean, professional editing is very expensive. It's very important that you get a sample edit from anyone who you're considering working with, just to make sure you're on the same page. You know, maybe they don't look at story the way you do. And that doesn't mean they're a terrible editor or you're a terrible writer. It just means maybe you're not the very best fit. You know, so it's very important to get that sample edit. And as much as you can fix on your own, that means the editor can do more sophisticated fixes. Stuff that's harder for you to see on your own. And so if you've fixed everything you possibly can, then the editor is going to be able to give you even better feedback, whether that is somebody you pay, whether that is a mentor, whether that is just a friend who you know to be a better writer than yourself.
Because the truth is, if you're going to query, if you're going to try to find an agent, your book has to be in great shape, because they're not going to work. They're not going to take it and fix it for you. You have to really have it ready.
And yeah, and agents used to work with authors in that way, but they really don't have time anymore.
No.
Remember, the agent doesn't get paid until they sell our book. And so every hour they have to invest in fixing our book before they can sell it is another hour they're not getting paid. You know, so why not be as good as you possibly can be so that the agent helps give you that little extra bump instead of the agent going, wow, you know, this is a great idea. It's a shame that it's so poorly written. We'll just work on that for 6 months. You know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, when you look back on it, F. Scott Fitzgerald and Hemingway were very, very lucky. I mean, they had some great, great input that you're not going to get nowadays. But,
yeah,
you know,
very true.
You know, it's so wonderful. Well, speaking, I just want to say about Hemingway again, one thing, this also comes up. People will say, well, everybody says you should write like Hemingway, short sentences. That's what he's famous for. He's famous because he came along and he shortened the sentences. Well, that's not the whole thing. I mean, that's not, you know, just make it choppy and make short sentences because you think that's why Hemingway was a success. You have to read Hemingway.
Exactly. Yeah, and but it's his voice, and so we should each discover our own voice too, which I like to phrase that as, your voice is like you'd tell this story to a friend, but better. You know how we all, when we go to a party or we hang out with friends, we have those stories that we tell again and again about, you know, that crazy time that we were stopped on Gulf to Bay and we did Chinese fire drill all around the car. You know, that crazy time that we were out on Clearwater Pier until 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, looking at dolphins leaping. We all have these stories that we tell again and again. And getting your voice onto the page is like telling that story for the 100th time, where you know where the laugh is going to come. You know what word needs to go at the end of the sentence for people to feel the meaning of the story when you're done telling it. And that's what the process of going through multiple drafts on the page is. It's telling the story over and over until we can tell it in the very best way we can.
Well, I hope that you're going to be in Florida someday soon.
I think so. I mean, it's so funny that you contacted me, Patsy, and I'm so honored to be on your show because I live in Dubai. I'm about 6,300 miles away from you right now, but I grew up in St. Petersburg, Florida, and graduated from Northeast High School.
Oh, wow. Well, when you are here, you're going to come to the studio and we're going to have lunch and drinks.
Absolutely.
Sort of like the type of, we'll have a brunch, Dubai style. Dubai style brunch. That sounds good.
Dubai brunch is crazy around here because the beautiful thing about brunch for people who enjoy alcoholic beverages is that brunch here comes with unlimited alcohol.
Yes. It is fun. Having lived in Iran for many years, I know about brunches that one can really enjoy. So I hope that you come here back to Florida and you can come here. And anyway, I was going to say, you have to be, you're going to be back on the program several times over the course of the next 2 months. I want you here again sometime in July, again sometime definitely on Pub Day, because there's so much to talk about here, because there's also all the publishing timeline and self-publishing and hybrid publishing, all the things that we can't get into, you know, in one program. But I want you to come back. But the reason I wanted you also on today is because you have something coming up in May that I thought you could share with my listeners. And that's what I wanted you to maybe talk a little bit about. Because, you know, that's coming up pretty soon.
It is. And we have just two places left, which I'm very excited about. So I co-teach with Dinty W. Moore, who is a noted memoirist. He's the author of The Accidental Buddhist. And Dinty and I teach a five-day workshop called Rebirth Your Writing, Publishing and Craft Intensive. And basically, it's a five-day virtual workshop where we do craft lessons, we do writing time, we do seminars on publishing and writing better at the sentence level, at the story level. There's also time to network with other writers. We give feedback on people's pitches. This will be our third one now, and I'm just really excited to do it again. The last one focused on memoir. This one is for both memoirists and novelists. And if people are interested to find out more, they can go to rebirthyourbook.com, and there's a button on the front page at rebirthyourbook.com.
Well, they should sign up now because it's going to be just a wonderful event, and people will learn so much from you. Just mention a little bit of your background, because the name of your website is I Do Words. And you, what else should people know about you?
Well, I also call myself the unkind editor because praise makes you feel good, but criticism makes your work better. And I think that's one of the hardest lessons for us to learn as writers, is that criticism is respect. People don't criticize people who they don't think can get better. You know, when you look at your kid and your kid writes a story, you say good job and pin it on the fridge. You don't start breaking apart whether or not he's used in the correct verb tense. But your friend who you think is talented, you're going to point out as many flaws as you see, because you have confidence that your friend is going to be able to fix them, that your friend is capable of better and more. And one of the reasons why I feel this way is because my background is actually in the circus.
I know. I wanted to hear about that. That sounds exciting.
I started out at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival many years ago, where I ate fire and lay on a bed of nails. And then I got into trapeze and acrobatics and whip cracking. And just like with ballet or gymnastics, whoever is the best circus student is the one getting the most hardcore criticism. You know you're in trouble when your coach stops yelling at you. And this has really helped me as a writing coach, because I'm really in favor of, okay, great try, totally failed, let's get up and do it again. Let's get up and do it again. And being really specific and really direct in feedback, because I have faith that the people who work with me are gonna get even better. You know, that's why they're here. But I loved being in the circus. I absolutely loved it. I toured all around the world, and my last shows were here in Dubai. And so this is where I ended up retiring, because I was getting a little old to stand between two teenage girls in identical spandex outfits.
And I think the fire eating loses its appeal after a while.
Well, you get to an age where you start getting heartburn.
Yeah. And then, of course, then if you might just, you know, run into Mr. Right, who doesn't mind if you don't do
exactly.
the house cleaning, who doesn't care. I mean, for me, that was, you know, I've read over 10,000 books, and people ask me, well, how could you do that? You know, you're married, you have two kids, and how can you read so much? And I said, a husband who does everything for me. So
absolutely. I am grateful every day for my husband's support. I mean, we're both working full time, me with my editing and writing, him with his consulting. But he is so great about cleaning, about looking after me, about, you know, I love doing the cooking, but he's really good about saying, you have a lot on your plate today. Why don't we order in? And I think that's something that we forget as writers, too, is we need that kind of support network, you know, emotional support, but also somebody who will look after the kids for a couple hours while we get that focused time in. You know, it's very hard to write and be a parent. And I think that's something that we sometimes overlook. You know, sometimes it takes a mom 10 years to write a book because she's got to pull that time away from, you know, working with the kids.
Well, I got a kick out of hearing about him.
I'm very lucky.
I love a guy who knows how to clean.
Oh, yes. He's a much better cleaner than I am. He does not let me wash the dishes because he doesn't think I do a good enough job.
Me too. I mean, I love it. I knew there was something I loved about you. I just, the more I looked at you, the more I read about you, I loved what you wrote in about your husband in there. I thought, this is so cool. And the book is just, it's really great. I want you, people, you have to get this book because it's very colorful. I love is this circus colors you picked?
Oh, yeah, that red, blue, and yellow, bright and shiny, so you can find it on the shelf.
It is perfect. It is just lovely. And and I want to say one thing. You mentioned there that there was this whole time when we kept getting these books that started with the word girls, and I was getting so tired of girls, girls, girls. And now, you know what I'm getting this year? Red.
What?
Everything is red.
Oh, really?
Red. Red, yeah. And crimson, sometimes an occasional crimson. But there are lots mm-hmm. of books that have red in the title. So they come in waves.
And trend to watch.
A trend to watch. People order this, pre-order this, because Allison with a K, Williams, you'll get some extra little bonuses from her. So pre-order it. And it's a wonderful book. I can tell you, I'm just having so much fun with it. And it's called Seven Drafts, Self-Edit Like a Pro from Blank Page to Book. And you've been on, thanks to Zoom. We got you on Zoom on it worked out so nicely. All the way from
magic
Dubai,
of Zoom.
The magic of Zoom. So, and you're
And if your listeners would like to keep up with my adventures, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Gorilla Memoir. And that's like Che Guevara, not the ape, at Gorilla Memoir.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. People, keep up with her. Wait, and I don't know if anybody can keep up with you. You are an amazing woman. But I will be in contact because I want to arrange some more visits to Joy on Paper. Okay.
Love to. Thank you so much, Patsy. I love your energy.
Okay. Thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I have a little song I want to play as an intro into my next interview. And I think this is something a lot of you will know.
Celebration. I finally figured
little song here for my next guest, Melissa De La Cruz. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
Oh, wow. High School Musical. The musical series. Wow. And this book is called The Road Trip. Melissa, you've done it again.
Thank you. Great to be here, Betsy.
Fantastic. Fantastic book. You know, it's so funny. My kids were in musical theater when they were, well, for most of their childhood, they were in musical theater. We did everything. We did all of it. And I was always the backstage mom, you know, making things out of paper mache. I made a paper mache dragon. I made trees out of cardboard. So I love the musical theater. I think it's so much fun. And so I was thrilled, you know, all the stories in here, all the references you have to, of course, musical theater. That's what this book is about. And you've done a beautiful job with it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm not a singing and dancing kid, but I am a musical enthusiast and I love musicals. And, you know, just the other day, my whole family was in the car singing the Les Mis, you know, finale. So, yeah, no, musicals are a big part of my life. But you know, you don't want me on stage, a singer or a dancer.
Well, actually, I finally, you know, after years of watching them on stage and being really, really jealous that I was never on, finally, I shoved myself in the chorus of The Fiddler in the Roof. I mean, I had to do it after years of watching them starring in all this musical theater. I got to play for one whole week in the chorus line. It was lots of fun.
Whoa. That is amazing. I'm so proud of you. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome.
It was really great. And now the book is, of course, this series means so much to people. I mean, the kids who were raised on it just know it so well, and you've done a great job of bringing the characters back from you know, the end of the play. And tell us how this book starts off, because it's really cool.
So they have just finished, you know, their wonderful performance of High School Musical, and Carlos discovers that there's a High School Musical convention that's happening, and so he says, oh my god, we have to go, you know, we're such fans of the original series. So they all decide that they're going to go and take a road trip and, you know, be part of it and hopefully see some of the stars of the original and, you know, hopefully get to sing in some of the performances. And, you know, some of them, I'm not going to say who,
no,
ends up at the wrong convention. And, of course, the bus breaks down.
There's all sorts of little twists and turns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's really, it's a fun book. And I remember for us, we'd always have after the final performance, and we'd all go to a restaurant and, or, you know, someplace, and that we were sorry always when it was over, you know. We knew there would be a show sometime, you know, months ahead, but just to keep together, when you have that crew and you have that that energy together, you don't want to lose it.
No, you know, and it's like, you know, it's a little bit like a bonding, you know, a found family, you know, and, you know, you're just, you know, you did something together and you made something together. So, yeah, it carries on that spirit.
It does. And you managed to capture all of the characters, I think, very nicely. And there are just so many parts to the book that I love. You know, one of the things, tell us how you told the story from the different points of view.
Yes. So, you know, Miss Jen, you know, keeps a list. So her chapters are all, you know, her list of things to do, which are really funny. And it's so great to be in her voice. And EJ, you know, has Instagram updates, you know, for his fans, for his followers. You know, because he's a little vain and he's a little, you know, a little into himself. But I love EJ. I think he's one of my favorite characters. And then Nini and Ricky are in there. You know, Courtney, Ashlyn, you know, all our favorites. You know, that we discover, you know, what they're feeling, what they're thinking. You know, how are they, you know, kind of relating as friends, you know, and relating with their own, you know, kind of things that they're maybe hiding from each other, hiding from themselves. So it's a lot of fun, but it's got a lot of heart. And, you know, it's about loyalty and working as a team and friendship and, you know, believing in your own talent, in your own self.
Well, and I believe in your talent because you are such a talented writer, and you've captured the story here. I think the kids will love it. I know it's for young kids, but I think teenagers and older people will love it. I just enjoyed the story. It was lots of fun, but that's because you're such a great writer. And I know that when we spoke before, you had written Never After.
Yeah,
which was the story of the 13th fairy, and there's a line in there that I often think about. As a matter of fact, I made a little sort of sticker out of it. It's by my computer, and you wrote a really nice line because it's very relevant to me. It's, "Oh joy, oh profound happiness, a new book."
That's right. You know, there's nothing that readers love more than a new book, especially if it's a series that we love, that we're so looking forward to what happens next. And, you know, I think that's definitely shared by readers. You know, it's something that we're so excited about. You know, I think anticipation, you know, for that, you know, that new adventure that we're going to embark upon with this new book.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you nowadays we can't do events and we can't go places, but when you go back to do book conventions and all of these events, that's, you should make that up as a sticker to give to people, because it's just so appropriate for book lovers. You know, just to have that, I put it up on a little card, and it's next to my computer because, I mean, that's how I think. And you're going to be quoted. Think of that, quoted through history. Think of that. You're going to be you're quotable.
Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, that, you know, authors write a lot of words, but very seldom do they, you know, get on that, you know, quotable list, you know, where they do searches. So now people are going to search for the word joy, and they're going to come out with this little quote of yours.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Well, you know, they find words from Shakespeare, and now they're going to find words from Melissa de la Cruz. How about that?
Well, you know, I think one of my readers had one of their lines tattooed on their body, you know, on their arm. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's amazing. What a compliment. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you've done, you know, of course, you're a New York Times bestselling author. Were you pretty thrilled when they asked you to, well, of course, this is a Disney Plus project. Were you really thrilled when they asked you to do this book?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they said we're working on High School Musical, the musical series, you know, which is a revamp of High School Musical. And we would love for you to get involved and write the book for it. And I said, okay, well, you know, send me the script. Let me watch the show. They sent me the script, and I think I watched the first episode because they were still taping when we were talking. And I just loved it. I thought it was so funny and so much fun, so witty and so modern. And, you know, I just said, yeah, I want to be a part of it, you know. And then I discovered that Tim Federle, who is the showrunner and creator of the show, was doing it, and he's a friend of mine. So I said, "Oh my goodness, I'll do it. It's with Tim, you know." And he was such a wonderful collaborator because he said, "Do whatever you want with the book. I trust you." And you know, what better words, you know, from one artist to another? And it was really, he always had my back, and I had his. He knew I was going to do his characters justice, and you know, yeah, it was just a really fun project to be part of.
Well, I thought you did a great job. I love all the there's so much in it, really. You know, you have the kids' schoolwork, and that's in there too. And so kids are learning as they're reading this book and don't even realize that they're learning anything. And that's what you want.
You know, I when you mentioned that, I was like, oh my God, I've never left high school. It's like, I'm always going to be in algebra. I think I still have nightmares about missing my finals, missing my test, not turning in my papers, you know. And I tell everybody that being a writer is like having homework every day, you know. It's homework for the rest of your life. but it's great. It's great homework. Definitely.
Well, I think it's just a fun book. And I know that, I hope that kids can, once they see this program, I think when they see the Disney program too, that's one of the things they will, many of them will want to get out there and be in the theater themselves. Now you weren't when you were young, but I tell you, it is so much fun. Hours and hours, you do a lot of rehearsals, you do all of that, but putting on a show and the people that you meet. And that's why I enjoyed this book, because as you're reading it, you realize they're meeting interesting people, they're doing interesting things, and I'm sure so many kids will enjoy reading this book and then saying, you know, I hope soon we can get out there and do things ourselves, and we can meet people, and we can get out there and sing and dance. And you don't have to be a singer or dancer, because there's always this backstage stuff that make paper mache things. I mean, when you can make I made a 20-foot dragon out of paper mache. So, you know,
amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And a brief fire, too. Yeah. And so it's so much fun. And I think that I'm glad that Disney is putting this show back. I think we need cheerful things. Don't you think we need cheerful things?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
We need optimism. We need, you know, a little brightness, a little sunshine in our lives, a little music. You know, a little joy.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. We need people to feel that they can get together again. So that's why I wanted to play the song and have that whole sort of vibe that there's a lot of hope out there. And if anybody knows a child, send this book to them. You know, if they're not visiting yet, I hope children are starting to visit their relatives. But you go ahead and send this book, and this is also a perfect book. There are many hospitals for children where they have children who are of the age who would enjoy reading this book. And I think that's one of the nicest things people can do, is to buy a book and just send it straight, you know, from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever, straight to a hospital and say, find a kid who will want this book.
Oh, yes. No, definitely. Definitely.
Well, I know that you're going to be back. I mean, you're the rate you write. You know, I should be seeing you every 6 months or so, right?
Oh, yes. I'll be back. Don't worry.
Okay. I'm sure the next...
wonderful book for everybody to enjoy, hopefully.
Okay. Well, again, where is there a website where people can go to see more, both about you and about the series?
I am on the web at melissa-delacruz.com and on Twitter at melissa-delacruz and on Instagram, author Melissa Delacruz.
Okay. Well, people can find out more about you and all of your books and maybe, you know, when they want to do something and they want to think about joy, they will think about your quote, because it is true that... Oh, Profound Happiness is a new book, and with you, I think we can guarantee every 6 months or so, you'll be coming out with a new one, right? I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper, and I want to thank everybody at Disney. You know, it's now streaming on the Disney Channel. One of the reasons to get the Disney Channel is, they have wonderful National Geographic programs that... I recently had the author of The Whales on, and there's just so many wonderful programs on the Disney Channel. So Again, thank you, Melissa De La Cruz, for being on Joy on Paper. It's been a joy to talk to you. It's a wonderful book. You've done a great job. You bring these kids to life in a book. So that's a wonderful accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's wonderful being here.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Melissa. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Ah, that's nice. You know, if you haven't watched the show, it's funny. I just love musical theater. Oh, if I could go back, I would have started a musical. I didn't know we didn't have musical theater when I was a little kid. We didn't have any theater. We didn't have a theater. What am I talking about? I was from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I don't know. It's funny. Actually, we did have a theater. We had a theater in Calumet, Michigan. It was a very famous theater back in the early 1900s. It was so famous that everybody came to it. It was like all the famous actors came to Calumet, Michigan at the time, to this famous theater. Why? It's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, Caruso came there. My goodness. But that was because at the time, the copper mines were so big and the people were so rich and the town was so rich that they had a real, really big theater. But by the time I was a kid, the copper mines had been wiped out. There's no more copper up there. And although my brother lives in hope that there's like a copper mine underneath our 80 acres. There isn't. And I don't think the government would let him keep it anyway, but you never know. There weren't any theaters, but musical theater is fun. We're going to play the commercials, then we're going to come back and I want to tell you a few things, okay? Commercials and, oh, the book buzz. Book buzz. Oh, my goodness. I'm crazy. I'll do it next week.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I have a few final words. It was a busy program today. Actually, it was really nice to talk to Allison K. Williams in Dubai because we used Zoom for the first time. Ed, did you like Zoom? Was that okay? Yeah? Okay, so we're going to maybe use that more often because we had great sound quality. Better sound quality for Zoom than we had from the telephone call. And that's what happened. So, you know, now everybody's Zooming, and so I think we'll try that more often. But again, Allison K. Williams, this is funny, she's going to be back on. The reason I wanted her on now is because I know she is giving, like, some special gifts and special treats to people who pre-order her book. And of all the writing books I've read in the past 6 years since I started this program, I have to say that hers is one of the best. I like her examples. People really relate to seeing what people wrote and then having it really visually explained why it's wrong or why it's right. And she has a lot. The book is just chock full of these examples. So that's one of the reasons I like it. She also has, she goes into detail about things that, you know, you buy so many books when you start off writing. You're buying books about writing. You're buying books about grammar. You're buying books about marketing. You're buying books about publishing, about query letters. But she has it all in there. And it's neatly organized. It's so much fun when I get a book. It's really the pre, before printing. So there are some typos in there. I love it when I find those. But the nice thing is that I can see how it's going to look when it's finished. And I think that if you pre-order the book, you'll be happy with it. It's sort of an all-in-one. Instead of having to buy like four different books on four different subjects, you've got it all there. And she knows her business. She has she has followers on her blog. I think over 65,000 followers on her blog, because she knows what she's talking about and she knows a lot about the industry. So her words of wisdom are really wise. And I'm going to ask her to come back in July. We're going to talk about specific chapters. I will let her select which chapter she wants to talk about. And then she'll be back here on September 7th for the release of the book. Because I want to help. So many of you have started writing. And many of you have sent me really kind letters, emails saying, you know, I started. And now what do I do? And it's been difficult to say, well, get this book, or, you know, this is a perfect book. But I will say that when you get this book, because it's all in one book, and, you know, it's hard when you're writing, you have just so much that you can do, so many hours in the day, and to, you know, be searching around for the right book. Is difficult. And I think Allison has the right ideas. In many cases, it's funny, the examples that she gives are examples that I would give. I really got the point where I thought, what's this girl doing? She's in my head. Well, maybe a part of her is floating around here, and she is a St. Petersburg native. And I hope, you know, she's going to come over from Dubai and visit, and then we'll be able to have her in the studio. And maybe she'll hang from the ceiling or whatever she did when she was in the circus. And it's funny, isn't it? You never know. All of these things. You know, all of your jobs, your past jobs, when you are a writer, at some point, you know, you'll pull in something from them. So it's just, I thought she was such a fascinating person when I first heard about her. And then since I've been reading about her, I got really excited about knowing her. So she will be back. And meanwhile, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry. Wow, her Witch City Mysteries would be fantastic, and she's up to book 11. My goodness, in 6 years, she's done a terrific job. I've done a terrific job. 6 years of Joy on Paper, and it's been a joy. Every minute I am here in the studio has been a joy. And I want you all to have just a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed. He connected us with Zoom all the way to Dubai. It was lots of fun. Oh, wow. Everybody, have a great, great weekend. and he saluted me, and I saluted him. Okay, everybody, now my weekend is set. Bye-bye now.